There's no telling what's going to be in heaven for Patch the Pirate. Maybe God will give him a new name, Ron Hamilton, when he gets there. We all know him as Patch the Pirate. But, Brother Frank, I'm not going to be a respecter of persons. And so I'm going to hold myself to 15 minutes also. No, because I want you to be... praying towards this. We're going to take the last 15 minutes or so of the service, whatever, and just corporately pray across our auditorium as God leads, just for our upcoming revival meeting, and asking the Lord to work in a special way. Do be praying for Brother Chamberlain. He's on his way up to the jail, and so he has the, in a good way, Frida. He's going up to preach. She looked up at me. He's going up to preach this afternoon to speak in the jail up there. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. As I was praying towards our meetings earlier this morning, I was reminded of the fact that, you know, we may have a lot of new converts or some that have never been in a revival service. And in that same spirit of us singing a song, like there is a fountain filled with blood with someone just walking in off the street, I'm really giving a lot of thought, trying to, on explanation, given Bible terms and Bible terminology, and to make sure people are understanding the Holy Spirit has a privilege to be able to speak to their hearts. But as I've thought through that, I've thought about our revival services coming up, and I want to share four simple thoughts. The first thing I wrote down was, can revival happen? And I know that it can, but then I thought, well, Lord, that's not exactly the direction you're going for me to preach on answering that question. And so then I went back and I wrote down, what is revival? And we assemble ourselves for these meetings, asking the Lord to be able to work. And so really, I want to look at Romans chapter number 6 about this subject matter of what is revival, and can it really take place in our lives? And I believe it can, as long as it comes from the Scriptures. I'm not looking for what started either in Canada or started down in Florida years ago in a laughing revival, that they would just roll around on the floor laughing, or a barking revival. There was one that took place, and they started rolling around and barking like a dog. And that was their signs of revival. And I believe that directly fulfilled 1 Corinthians as far as outsiders coming in and thinking that they're mad, literally. Foaming at the mouth, gone mad, barking like a dog. And so we hear that term around this country and around the world, but what is revival? Can it happen? And you can remain seated. I'm gonna read down through here, starting in verse number 11. Look what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul said, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin." Aren't you glad that's in the past tense? "We were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, and to your iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to share four thoughts as I look down through here on what is revival, why are we assembling together, asking God to be able to work. What are we praying for? What are we seeking God's face for? What are we longing for God for? And I say I want the power of God and the presence of God to be so real that when someone walks in this door, they know there's something different. You say, oh, that's spooky. No, I want it. Listen, I want it when I open my Bible to know the Spirit of God speaking to me. I believe it can be, and I'm not talking about I'm the Peter of the New Testament, that he could just walk somewhere and his shadow would just overshadow someone and they'd be healed and get up and walk. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm not talking about getting up here and hitting someone in the forehead or breathing on everybody. I think that's just bad breath in the auditorium, that one of those preachers can get up and breathe on everybody and they all fall backwards and say that they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about unbiblical things like that. I'm talking about, you know, the presence of God is real. Amen. And I want to look and I want to give you these four things. First of all, in verse number 11, what is revival? I believe revival is belief in the new life in Christ. He's talking to believers that are here in chapter 6, verse number 11, and says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that we need to start believing, and that believing coming into action, that we do have new life in Christ. We're not the same old person. So if we're not the same old person and the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us and he's changed us, then why don't we live like we believe we're different? And I believe that when there's revival taking place, we're going to believe we're changed. We're going to believe in the life that God has given to us. Listen, there's some that don't believe that the life that Jesus gave to us is the best life that could ever be lived. There are some that still believe that the pleasures of this world are a whole lot more satisfying than what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. Can I say this? I never lived out there in that world. I grew up in a preacher's home. There's never been a cigarette between them fingers. There's never been a beer bottle touching these lips. I've never shot up. I've never gotten high. Never had to come down. And I'm fine with that. And if you think that's uncool and you think it's a joke, it's not a joke. I'm thankful for all of that. And can I say, we've seen too much of the other side to sit back and say, yeah, I think I'd rather have that life. No. Can I say that? Every week, I am perfectly fine to be able to hear testimonies from others and sit back and say, thank God, I believe the life that God has given to me through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just believe that's a better life. I just believe it is. And you say, well, you don't know what you're missing. That's the problem. I do know what I'm missing, and I'm perfectly okay with it. But the blessing is, not only do we get to experience it, but I get to go tell everybody else, hey, let me tell you about this life that God's given to me. Because I am a new creature. Revival will start taking place when we start believing that this new life in Christ is actually better than anything that that world has to offer. And you'll probably start get labeled as a lunatic. Now, you don't need to go off the deep end about it. I believe revival starts taking place. We're not going to care what man thinks about us.
And we'll just be worried about what Christ thinks about it and say, listen, you didn't give me that life to begin with, so you can't take it away from me. And aren't you thankful that the eternal life that God gives to us, I didn't get it in the first place. He gave it to me, so I can't give it up anyway. I'm thankful. And it's a belief in the new life in Christ. Second of all, what is revival? I believe revival simply, according to verse number 13, is just the choice to do right. It's the choice between the flesh and the spirit. And not just the internal choice, but it is, according to verse number 13, it is the difference between yielding our members as instruments of unrighteousness. Do you know what the members are? Listen, he's not talking about the pastor allowing the members to go do unrighteousness. He's talking to the individual about us choosing and yielding my members, my hands, my feet, my ears, my eyes, my heart, my tongue, yielding my members as instruments of unrighteousness. And revival comes when we just, I believe this, we choose to do right. And we're saying, listen, today I'm not yielding my members, my hands, my feet, go through the entire list again, to be able to work that which is unrighteous, but I'm yielding my members to righteousness. And just choosing to do right. I don't know how many times, if I could summarize all the leading and the training and educating that we gave to our two children, and we're still giving it to them. When it came down to it, I just told them, listen, here's the number one thing I want you to get. Just choose to do right. That's it. Just choose to do right. And follow the godly advice that's being given to you and choose the right way. Can I say even the Lord did that to the nation of Israel? He said, this day I'm setting before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Now choose. I guess when you put it as life and death, and you know God meant what he said. But even then, listen, those children of Israel, they saw the earth open up and swallow people directly into hell. And within a few days, they still rebelled against God. They still started complaining. And I'm thinking, listen, revival is going to take place. Just choose to do right. And God will be pleased. Third of all, look what he said in verse number 17. He said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Choose to do right. Number three, I believe revival comes when we obey the word of God. You say, well, that's kind of choosing what's right. Listen, when we open up the word of God and the word of God says, hey, you need to do this, I'm just simple enough to believe that if I obey the word of God, God's responsible for the results of it. And I'm not. And you're not. We just follow God's word. When it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Guess what we ought to do? We ought to obey. You say, but I don't believe that. There's not one young person here that would say that, but you act it. Just do what's right. Choose to do what's right. Choose to obey the word of God, what the Bible says. And I found this. I truly believe that our souls and our spirit, our life, our church, our families, our individuals, I believe would truly be revived if, listen, by the end of this week, it was just the decision in every one of our hearts and lives that, listen, I'm just going to follow the Bible. What a novel idea. Obey the Bible. That's what Paul said. He said, but God be thanked. Ye were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed. In other words, when you obeyed, guess what? A difference was made. I found that out growing up too. It didn't take me long to find out that if I would obey, I wouldn't suffer the consequences. And I'm thinking, okay, let's weigh this out. Believe it or not, I raised a boy that it was worth the consequences. Would outrightly know the consequences, and would get done disciplining afterward. I'm as serious as can be, and get done with the consequences. And I'd say, well, was it worth it? He'd say, yeah. Seriously, I mean, that was just, and I appreciated the honesty. I really did. I'm like, he's not lying to me. Yep, it was worth it. All right, why don't we go back in and we'll just keep having to come to Jesus talk until it's not worth it anymore. You were the servants of sin. What made the difference? You obeyed. It's that simple. What is revival? It's belief that the new life in Christ is better. It's the choice to do right. It's obeying God's word. But then look back down at verse number 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? But the end of those things is death. I simply wrote down, you say, what's revival? I'm living for the end. You say, will revival take place? Listen, we won't go back and start analyzing the fruit of the flesh. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, but you think in your heart, how many are here today that if there was just one thing that would be made public to everybody, you'd be ashamed of it? And Paul's saying, so where's the fruit from those things that you're now ashamed of? Boy, that was worth living for that moment, wasn't it? That was worth living for that moment for everybody else to be accepted. That was worth living for that moment, that pleasures of sin for a season. But now we're looking at it saying, what's the fruit of that? What's the result of that? The result of that, listen, I'm ashamed. If that were to be put out publicly for everybody to be able to hear that and to be able to see that and to be able to analyze what I did, he said, where's the fruit of that? You're now ashamed of that because the end of that's just death. I thought, you know, revival's going to come. You know, revival's the opposite of death. Revival's life. And I'm just wanting to live for the end. Because I want to stand before the Lord, and I don't want Him to start saying some things that I didn't get confessed and I didn't get forsaken, and for Him to be able to say, where's the fruit of that? And be ashamed standing before the Lord. I want to live for the end when He's going to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want Him to be able to look at me and say, hey, you've been faithful in these little things over here. And I'm going to say, praise the Lord, He counted me faithful. I'm living for the end because, you know, there's one day we're going to stand before God. And I believe revival takes place in the reality that I'm going to see Him face to face one day. And I want to live every moment of my life ready to see Christ. I want to live for the end. And so I wonder right now, I mean, as we start getting ready, and we're going to have a time of prayer, go into a prayer meeting, and then we'll be done. What is revival? Just believing in the new life in Christ, choosing to do what's right, obeying God's word, and living for the end. Well, I want God to do something in our heart and life. I want God, listen, if it's a cold, dead heart, you need to be here every night. If it's a heart willing for the Lord to be able to work, it's not a matter of needing, but we're going to want to be here every night. Saying, God, would you just, boy, keep working on it. Keep working. Do you know that it's going to inconvenience the flesh? I've said this before, and I think we just need to be reminded of it now. When you start walking in the Spirit, you're going to embarrass the flesh at some point. Because you're going to be like, oh, that's not me. No, it isn't. It's God working through you. We're going to embarrass the flesh. We're going to inconvenience the flesh. But I believe it'll be worth it when we see the end result. And say, I'm looking for those things. I'm not looking to fulfill those things that I'm going to be ashamed of at the end of my life. I'm looking to do those things and live in such a way that I'm thankful for. And asking the Lord to be able to work. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare our hearts for services tomorrow night, for revival. And Lord, simply the attitude of our hearts would be to obey the word of God, knowing that living for you is better than any life I've ever had. And Lord, I'm so looking forward to the end when I can stand before you and not be ashamed. Because the end of those worldly things is just death. And so, Lord, would you just help us to believe that it can take place and say, God, would you do it through us? Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.